she couldn't keep a small smile from coming to her lips. "Well, Sister Marin told me that she had prayed for guidance and decided I would serve the Creator best if I were a sister, in view of my experience." She lifted an eyebrow. "Poor Sister Marin. Lying seems to have become infectious since you arrived here." He shrugged. "Sister Marin did what was right. I think your Creator would be pleased with the outcome." "I heard that you killed Lemriswith. News spreads through the palace like a blaze through dry grass." Richard walked to the hearth. He leaned on the dark granite mantel and stared into the flames. "Well, I had no choice." Sister Verna stroked a hand tenderly down his hair. "Are you all right, Richard? How are you doing?"
"I'm fine."
Richard pulled the baldric over his head and set it and the sword aside. He tossed the red coat on a chair.
"I'd be better if I didn't have to wear these silly clothes. But I guess it's a small price to pay for peace, for now. What did you want to talk to me about, Sister?"
"I don't know what you did, how you got me returned to Sister, but thank you, Richard. Does this mean you would like for us to be friends?"
"Only if you will take this collar off me."
She looked away from his eyes.
"Some day, Sister, you will have to make your choice. I hope when the time comes you choose to be on my side. After all we've been through, I would hate to have to kill you. But you know what I'm capable of. You knew what my answer would be. Surely you came here for more than that."
"I've told you before how you are using your Han without knowing what you are doing, remember?"
"Yes, but I don't think I'm using my Han."
She lifted an eyebrow. "Richard, you killed Amriswith. As far as I know, that has not been done in the last 3,000 years. You had to use your Han to do that."
"No, Sister, I used the magic of the sword to kill it."
"Richard, I have observed you and learned a little about both you and your sword. The reason no one has ever been able to kill Amriswith is because they never knew it was coming. Even the Han of sisters and wizards could not sense its approach. Your sword may have killed Amriswith, but your Han let you know it was coming. You are calling on your gift, but without control."
Richard was tired. He didn't feel like arguing, so he didn't. He flopped into a plush chair. He remembered the way he had seen the Mriswith in his mind, had seen it coming.
"I don't understand what I'm doing, Sister. The Mriswith came and I protected myself."
She sat in a chair opposite. "Look at it this way, Richard. You killed a beast as deadly as anything walking the land. Yet that little girl with the big brown eyes and about as much power compared to you as a sparrow compared to a hawk just used her Han to throw you down the hall. I hope you will study hard so you may learn to control your Han. You need to get it under control."
She looked at him intently. "Why did you go into the Hagen Woods after I told you that they are dangerous? The real reason, not the justification, but the deep down inside reason. Please tell me the truth, Richard."
Richard stretched back, looking up at the ceiling. He finally conceded with a nod.
"It was like something drew me in. It was a need, a hunger. It was like I needed to pound my fist against the wall, and that was the way to do it."
He thought she might launch into a lecture, but she didn't. Her tone was sympathetic. "Richard, I've been talking to a few friends of mine. None of us knows everything about the magic of the palace, and especially the Hagen Woods. But there is reason to believe that the Hagen Woods were placed there specifically for certain wizards." Richard studied her quiet expression, the creases in her face, the sincerity in her eyes.
"Are you saying, Sister, that if I need to pound my fist against the wall, maybe I should do so?"
She gave a slight lift to her eyebrows. "The Creator gave us hunger so we would eat, because eating is necessary."
"What would be the purpose of a hunger like mine?"
She shook her head. "I don't know. For a second time in as many days, the prelate has declined to grant me an audience. But I'm going to try to find some answers. In the meantime, just please, don't let the sun set on you in the Hagen Woods."
"Is this what you came to tell me, Sister?"
She looked away and paused, rubbing her forehead with two fingers. She looked uncertain. He had never seen her like this.
"Richard, there are things going on that I don't understand. And they are connected to you. Events are not happening as they should."
She saw his curious look. "I can't talk about them just yet."
She cleared her throat. "Richard, I don't want you to trust every one of the sisters."
Richard lifted an eyebrow.
Sister, I trust none of you. That brought a short-lived smile to her face. For now, that would be best. That was what I wanted to tell you. I'm going to find the answers, but for now, well, let's just say that I know you will do as you must to stay safe. After Sister Verna left, Richard thought about what she had said and about the things Warren had told him. Mostly, he thought about the Stone of Tears. It puzzled him that the magic in the Valley of the Lost would present him with a vision of something he had never seen before and put it around Rachel's neck. The other visions seemed to have been anchored in his longings and fears. Maybe because he missed seeing his friend Chase, he saw the vision of Rachel, too. She would be with Chase. But why would the vision put around her neck something he had never seen before, which turned out to look like a drawing in a book? Maybe they weren't the same thing. He told himself they couldn't be, but an uneasy feeling inside said otherwise. As much as he missed Chase and Rachel, it was the stone around Rachel's neck that had captured his attention. It was as if Rachel were bringing it to him for Zed, and Zed had been there with him, urging him to take the stone. Pasha's knock at the door brought him out of his brooding. She was wearing a plain, brownish-gray dress with small, pink cloth buttons up the front, all the way up to her neck. Though it didn't show the expanse of flesh the green dress had, it was tailored so that it revealed nearly every detail of her shape. The fact that it covered everything only made what it covered all that much more intriguing. The color somehow brought out the softness of her brown hair. Pasha sat cross-legged on the floor, on the blue and yellow carpet in front of the fireplace. She draped her dress carefully over her knees and then looked up.
"Here, sit like me in front of me."
Richard sat on the floor and folded his legs. She motioned him to come closer until their knees touched. She took his hands and held them lightly as they rested across both their knees.
"Sister Verna didn't do this when I practiced."
"That was because the Rata Han had to be within the circle of influence of the magic of the palace before we could practice in this way. Until now, when you have practiced touching your Han, it has been alone. Most of the time from now on, I, or a sister, will use our Han to assist you." She smiled. "It will help you progress faster, Richard."
"All right. What do you want me to do?"
"She told you how to try to reach your Han, how to concentrate on finding that place within yourself?"
Richard nodded.
"That is what I want you to do. While you search for that place, I will use my Han, through the Rata Han, to try to guide you."
Richard squirmed a little, getting more comfortable. Pasha took back a hand and fanned her face.
"This dress seems so warm after wearing the other."
She unbuttoned the top five buttons of her dress and then took his hand up again. Richard glanced at the fire to check the logs so he would know how long it had been when he opened his eyes again. He could never seem to judge the time while he searched for his Han. It always seemed like mere minutes, but it was usually at least an hour. Richard closed his eyes. He brought forth the image of the Sword of Truth on a plain background. As the quiet settled over him, as he sought the peace within, his breathing slowed. He took a long breath and then let himself sink into the calm center. He was aware of Pasha's hands holding his, of her knees touching his, and of her even breathing coming into harmony with his. It felt good to have her holding his hands. He didn't feel isolated the way he had always felt before. He didn't know if she really was using the magic of his collar to go with him, but he felt himself spiraling deeper than he had before. He drifted in the timeless place without thinking, without effort or worry. Whatever his Han was, he didn't see or feel anything he hadn't seen or felt before, other than feeling more relaxed than before, and the comforting feeling of having Pasha with him. It was no different. He was dimly aware of his body starting to feel cramped, and of the warmth from the fire. The cold steel of the sword seemed to be a core of ice in the heat. At last he opened his eyes. Pasha opened her eyes with him. Richard glanced to the fire. The logs had been reduced to glowing coals. 2 hours, he judged. A trickle of sweat ran down Pasha's neck.
"My, but it's warm tonight."
She unbuttoned buttons. A lot of buttons. More of her was showing than had shown in the green dress. Richard made himself look back up into her soft eyes. Pasha gave him a small, self-assured smile.
"I didn't feel anything," Richard said. "I didn't sense my Han, although I don't know what it is I'm supposed to sense.
I didn't either, and I should have. Strange.
She sighed to herself with a puzzled expression. Her face brightened.
But it takes practice. Did you feel my hand? Was it any help?
No, he admitted. I didn't feel anything. She made a little quirk with her mouth as she frowned.
You didn't feel anything of me?
He shook his head.
Well, close your eyes and try again.
It was late, and Richard didn't want to practice anymore. It was tiring. But he decided to do as she wished. He closed his eyes. He concentrated on trying to bring back the sword. Suddenly, he felt Pasha's full lips against his. His eyes opened as she pressed against him. Her eyes were closed, her brow wrinkled. She grasped his face with her hands. Richard gripped her shoulders and pushed her away. She opened her eyes and licked her lips. She smiled coyly.
Did you feel that?
I felt it. She hooked an arm around his neck.
Apparently, not enough.
Richard gently put a hand against her as she tried to lean in. He didn't want to embarrass her, so he tried to keep his voice pleasant.
Pasha, don't.
She rubbed her free hand around on his stomach.
It's late. No one will be around. If it will make you feel more comfortable, I'll shield the door. You shouldn't worry.
I'm not worried. I just don't want to. She looked a bit hurt.
You do not think I am pretty enough?
Richard didn't want to offend her, and he didn't want to make her angry, but he didn't want to encourage her either.
It's not that, Pasha.
You're very attractive. It's just that... She unbuttoned another little button. Richard reached out and took a hold of her hand to stop her. He realized the situation was becoming hazardous.
She was his teacher.
If he angered or humiliated her, things could become dangerously complicated.